Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Very important person here, Catherine Hammond. Hammond Law Group. Always love talking with you, Catherine. It's great. I feel like we haven't seen each other in a while.
Right.
But you're also, you travel so much now.
I do.
You get that chance
to go visit a friend in South Dakota this weekend.
Good.
So that was a lovely getaway to small, wholesome America.
Yeah, it's so pretty up there, too.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Well, welcome back. We are so glad you were here. And today, I mean, it's always an important topic when you come here. And it's everything, you know, recently have friends that passed away. It was a tragic incident. But guess what? They had their end-of-life plan in place. So the impact on the family is a lot less. And that's what we're talking about today, is the steps to creating a good end-of-life plan.
Yes.
And I love how you frame this. It's an elephant in the room, isn't it? Because it really is.
It is. And nobody wants to talk about death and disability.
Right.
And for most of us, until we hit age 65, it's even more likely that we'll become disabled than pass away.
Hmm.
And so for anybody who's listening who's under 65, don't forget to plan for disability. But today we're really focusing on the death and what needs to happen in order to make it as smooth as possible for your loved ones, for you and for your
And for your loved ones. And you have, if folks don't know your story, your backstory, your mom, when you were a lot younger, your mom was diagnosed, wasn't she, with Alzheimer's?
She was. And so when I was 22, I had to put her into a nursing home. And in order to get her there, I had to go through the legal process, which was very, very expensive and intrusive and overwhelming.
And at 22, I can't imagine.
Yeah. Right. So that's what inspires me to help other families today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this year I had an experience with my father passing away, and yeah. He really was moving toward that over the last 15 years. He also had a very slow exit from this planet. And that has made me think about some of the same things and some different things that I see our clients going through and how I can be helpful. So that's what I hope to do this morning, Tracy.
Yeah. And it's so much great information that we're talking about in creating that good end of life plan. And it's like we talked about, it's like the elephant in your room and in the room. And if you don't address the elephant in the room, then guess what? Your family can pay the price for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you don't want that at all. And so what does that mean, like, when if you don't have a good end-of-life plan in place? First of all, your family is grieving, right? They're grieving, and the last thing that they want to think about is what's next.
Right, and so much of it leads up to the actual time that you pass away. And so there are so many things that we can plan and put into place that will help them both in the days before and the days after we pass away. And so, you know, for example, let's say that you get into an accident and you just assume that your loved ones can take care of everything, but without a universal HIPAA release, they call the hospital to find out, are you in that hospital? And they can't even find out whether or not you're there. That once they eventually find out you're there, because the hospital's not allowed to tell them, unless you
just
signed
a basic
HIPAA release.
Right, just a basic, hey, are they there?
Exactly.
They can't even tell you.
Can't even tell you that. And so let's say you've now found your family member.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the right documents in place, you can't make the tough medical decisions that might need to be made in that situation.
So even if you locate your family member, you do have that HIPAA in place so they can tell you, yes, that family member is there. But again, like you're saying, if you have to go to the hospital, if that documentation isn't there. And we're talking even if, because we've touched on this before, even if it's your child who just turned 18, that changes
right.
Everything, doesn't it?
Changes everything. You can't even find out if they're in the hospital. So, and then there are things like, let's say that you have a stroke. There are certain situations where if I have a stroke and I am no longer functional to the level that I want to be functional, I may not want other procedures done that would prolong my life.
But you have to make sure that's clear.
Right. Yeah. Because otherwise, your family and the medical profession is going to do everything possible to prolong your life as long as possible, even though it may not be a life that feels meaningful to you.
So, I mean, and this is just some of the aspects of everything that you need to have right in the back of your mind.
Absolutely. Right. And then of course, there are the documents for when you pass away. So you die with an outdated will. If you own real estate, you're going to have to go through probate. The money goes to the wrong people at the wrong time. And maybe you have the wrong executor, a child that you weren't speaking to or who wasn't speaking to you, who's now the executor of your estate. There are all kinds of things that we see. And so first most important thing to know is have a plan ahead. And that's why we have public workshops on a regular basis. We have some coming up next week.
Yeah, let's talk about those workshops because they fill up quickly.
Yes, they do, Renee. We've had to cut off the registration for those a couple of times in the last couple of months. So next Wednesday, July 17th in the afternoon and evening, and on Saturday, July 20th, we have another one.
So how do folks, and this is just, again, we're just talking about the tip of the iceberg with getting that family or that end of life, good end of life plan together. We're going to talk more about it, like legal documents you need and stuff like that. But if folks want to get registered, because it does help you down the path, it's kind of the start down the path to getting this together.
It's just an educational presentation that helps people really get a feel for how the system works. We don't try to sell anything.
Right. So how can they get registered for one of those?
You can call our office at 719-520-1474 or go online to coloradoestateplan.com.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to kind of dive in a little bit more into making the plan, like legal documents that you need. You know, even I talk to you a lot, Catherine, and even it can be overwhelming, can it?
Right.
Like, what do you need to do for the household, family members, finances?
Right.
We've got more with Catherine Hammond, Hammond Law Group, coming up next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we're talking with Catherine Hammond, Hammond Law Group, the steps to creating a good end of life plan. And really quick, before we move on to legal documents, just a reminder, next workshops next Wednesday and next Saturday. Spaces fill up very quickly. So if you would like to get into one of these free workshops, get registered as soon as you can. Get
yes.
it done.
We would love to have you there.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're basically, you know, encouraging, helping folks starting to create a good end-of-life plan, the impact, Catherine, that this can have on your family. You've gone through it. I've gone through it. There was not a good end-of-life plan there.
Right. And a lot of our listeners have gone through it.
Right. And it's, if you know and you've gone through it, you know how impactful and life-changing it can be.
Right.
So these are the steps to help you and your family.
Yeah.
It's not going to go away.
And it doesn't take that much.
No.
The hardest part, I think, is taking the first step, especially as far as the legal side goes.
Right.
Taking the first step to figure out what it is that you're going to do and the first step to make it happen, calling an estate planning attorney.
Yeah.
Once people get in there, and if you have a good estate planning attorney, they're going to have a solid process and steps for you to follow to make everything come together. And then there's not so much thinking about it on your part. You just follow what they have you do. And about a month later, you have an estate plan and you finally can check that off of your list.
And that's such a relief.
Right.
You tell them here and they go here and you go, yay.
That's what everybody says. When they sign their estate plan, they say, I finally understand what you meant by having peace of mind in getting this done.
And some of the legal documents that are involved in the plan, obviously changes person to person, but there are
Absolutely.
Some that are needed.
Right.
Absolutely.
Ideally, when you go to an estate planning attorney, they're going to take some time to just ask you questions and listen to your situation, your goals, your concerns, your assets, get to know a little bit about your family members, and really design a plan that will carry out your wishes given all of those particulars in your situation. So the documents then are not the plan. The documents are just the way that we put the plan into place.
The instruments to
exactly.
make the plan happen.
So it's your attorney's brain that's the important part of making the plan come together. So as far as documents go, there are certain documents that every single person needs. A will, that says where you want your stuff to go when you die. And if you have minor children, that's where we name the guardians.
Okay.
A financial power of attorney that would enable somebody to make financial decisions and take care of your financial transactions if you're incapacitated. And a healthcare power of attorney, so somebody can take care of your medical decisions. A living will that says how you, or advanced directive that says how you feel about artificial life support and some other end of life kinds of care decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the universal HIPAA release,
which we kind of just talked on.
To get any and all of your medical information if you can't communicate it.
And again, it's based on each individual instance and case.
Yep.
And in some cases, like your power of attorney and your healthcare power of attorney possibly could be, you know, for financial and healthcare could be two different people.
Absolutely.
It all depends on what you need for you and your family.
Exactly. And that's where that conversation with your attorney is very helpful to talk through. I recently sat down with a client and client's adult daughter to talk through the medical decisions because this client was trying to decide whether daughter would be the appropriate person to name on the healthcare power of attorney. As we talked through exactly what client wanted and didn't want in terms of medical treatment, at first daughter said, absolutely, I can carry out those decisions for you. But the farther we got into the details of what client wanted, the more daughter started to say, I don't think I can do that. I don't think that I could, if you have dementia and your body is shutting down and not swallowing very well anymore, I could not stop feeding you, even though I know your body is shutting down. The traditional medical thing to do is to give somebody thinner and thinner liquids when they can't swallow solid food anymore so that they don't get pneumonia and die. Well, for some of us, including me, I'll say, if I have dementia and my body is shutting down and not swallowing well anymore, I don't feel a need to have my life prolonged any farther.
Yeah.
And so, yes, my body is shutting down. That's okay. Anyway, daughter finally decided she couldn't carry out my client's wishes. And so they decided together to hire a professional healthcare decision maker.
Interesting. I didn't even know that there were people that
acted as healthcare. There are wonderful people who will do that.
Wow.
And the folks that I know who do that are geriatric care managers mm-hmm. with really, really big hearts.
Wow. And sometimes, like you're saying, it may be best in that situation to have somebody who is, you know, not directly connected.
Absolutely.
To help make those decisions because it's a very hard decision. That's why you have these things in place.
And then some people also need a revocable living trust. So you have all those other documents. If you own real estate, then typically, if you don't want to go through probate, if you know that you don't want to go through probate, if you're incapacitated and when you die, revocable living trust is one of the most common tools that we use for that. And we also use it sometimes to protect your estate from future ex-children-in-law, the husband of your daughter who takes off with the next door neighbor, or just the children who aren't ready for a big chunk of money or all of the other kinds of things that can come up. So revocable living trust is helpful and appropriate for a number of people, particularly people who own a home. I'm having a hard time talking this
morning. That's okay. It's okay. I've been stumbling all morning. So again, let's review kind of at a minimum some of the legal documents somebody might need. So your will,
absolutely,
your power of attorney for financial stuff. Mm-hmm. Your healthcare power of attorney, if you have end of life directives for your living will,
yes,
and your universal HIPAA. Those are just the basics.
Yep, those are the basics.
Okay.
And then revocable living trust for people who want to avoid probate.
Okay, so let's take a quick news break. And when we come back, we're going to look at other things like household. I've not heard this term before, but death cleaning. I know it's a hard term.
Death cleaning. There's a whole book about it.
Wow. So we're going to talk about that and a lot more when we come back with Catherine Hammond. Hammond Law Group next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Good morning and welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. One of our favorite people here Catherine Hammond, Hammond Law Group. See, I can't talk today either, Catherine. It's the Can't Talk Tuesday.
It is.
Let's make it a day.
Can't Talk Tuesday.
Can't
yes.
Talk Tuesday.
You're just like me because I come and talk about dying. That's everybody loves that about me.
Hey, we got to face it.
Yes.
It happens. And we're talking about the steps to creating a good end of life plan. We've kind of talked about an overview, some of the basic legal documents that you need, but you also need in making your end of life plan, you need to look at your household.
Absolutely.
And what comes with that.
Right.
Right.
So starting with finances,
yeah.
Because that's a lot of what trips people up when they lose a loved one is figuring out what on earth did they own. And where is it? And
how do you access
exactly.
it? Exactly. Yeah. Right.
So really, really helpful and important to have a total comprehensive list of all of your assets, a list of all of your debts, a list of all of your advisors, your financial advisor, your estate planning attorney,
your everybody. Bank accounts, your...
Absolutely. Your passwords, all of those things. And now we have some sophisticated programs that will keep all of your online passwords, and many of them have a backup system so that if something happens to you, somebody else can get access to the document or app on your phone that keeps all of your passwords. So make sure that you have all of that financial information together and keep that updated. I tell people update it once a year on April 15th. You're thinking about money on that day anyway.
Tax day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So update all of your financial information on that.
And you can leave that also with your attorney, I would assume.
Yes. For us, we will hold that for clients who are members of our ongoing legacy protection plan. We'll hold their updated list of assets as
and
well as a number of other
pieces
of information that are helpful immediately when you pass away so that your family doesn't have to go searching for it.
Right, because that's the worst feeling ever.
Right.
Now, let's talk about organizing your home affairs, because not only are you dealing with the financial aspect of it, your family is.
Right.
How about at home?
Absolutely. So there are a number of things just around the home that you may be the only one who knows how they work. It might be appliances, it might be the security system, it might be the combination
okay.
to your briefcase or your safe.
Right.
And this is true for married couples and for single people. So I know in my house, I know certain things and Brian knows certain things. And if he was hit by a bus tomorrow, there are things around the house that I wouldn't know how to deal
access
with.
Access it or,
right.
yeah.
That would really throw me for a loop. So having a list of all of those kinds of things, your sprinklers, your water sprinklers and, yeah.
And stuff you don't even think about, though.
Exactly.
Right. Just everyday thing.
Right.
And anymore, I like how you mentioned appliances because, you know what, you have to be a genius to operate some of these appliances these days.
Yep.
And I'm not being sorry. It's true.
Yep.
It's true.
Computers, stereo systems, all of those things.
Now, let's move on to, and you and I were talking about this in the break, death cleaning. I know it's not a fun topic, but really, for anybody who has gone through it, the last thing you want to do is leave your family with cleaning up.
Right, with a whole bunch of stuff.
With a whole bunch of stuff. You and I were talking, for your mom, I know for my family, it was 3 months. 3 months, every day for 3 months to clean out the house.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to do that to your loved ones.
Not at all. Yeah, my mom was a hoarder. And
was my dad, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And it was awful. And after spending months by myself trying to get through everything, I finally had to hire a company that just came in and took everything and took it to the dump.
Yeah.
I did what I could, and then I had to just let
it go. Because it's so overwhelming.
So there are ways to make things so much easier by just cleaning out everything that you no longer need.
Right.
If you're holding on to it for sentimental reasons, and you're in a season of your life where you know that you don't have a lot more seasons, then let go of the things that you no longer need. It might be that there's somebody in your circle who would want them, and if not, go ahead and get rid of them now. It's going to have to be done at some point, either by you or by your family, much sweeter for you to do it. And maybe just choose one area every single week
to look at and go through.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just think about the stuff. We all have the junk drawer. stuff ends up in the junk drawer, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just you start accumulating stuff, and you and I were talking in the break, like, you know, we both have it. Moving, by the way, helps you purge greatly. It's a fantastic way to. Yeah, me too. But then I was like, I'm starting to accumulate some stuff again. So I'm purging again.
Right.
And once you've gone through it, you never want to be in that situation again or put that on anybody.
Yes.
So do your family members a favor.
Exactly. And every time a family member comes over, get rid of something else.
Mm-hmm. Here, do you want this?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Take it, or it's going in the dumpster,
it'll be a
being donated.
Big gift to them when something happens.
Absolutely.
To you.
So start working on that now. Okay, let's touch on digital life. You and I have kind of talked about this before, but it's really kind of, I think, for most, something that we don't think about anymore.
Right.
Or we don't even put it into our planning process.
Right.
Digital life.
Yeah, and it's so many things these days, from, you know, passwords to our bank accounts, to social media, to our music libraries, our photos, our, you know, memberships. There are a lot of online memberships these days, your shopping sites, Google Documents.
Yes. How many people just, like, upload it to the cloud and there's...
Right.
Yeah.
And then who's going to be able to access that when something happens to you? So... make a list of all of those different things, and then ideally appoint a person who would be able to manage those. Many of those sites will let you set up a digital plan specifically for them. So Google and iTunes and all of those things. You can set up a plan specifically with that company for what happens if you don't come online for a time or if other criteria are met. So check with each individual company, but beyond that, make sure that you have a list of all of the different accounts and instructions to your loved ones on what to do with each different asset.
Well, and it's like you said, because you just think about it, how many subscription plans do we have? How
right.
many, you know, you don't even think about that. It just automatically comes out of your account or whatever. It's so
right.
easy. And then how do you shut that off?
Exactly.
Right.
And how would anybody know about it?
Right. And all of a sudden, it just keeps coming out and just keeps coming out. So that's interesting. The digital life, make a plan for that.
Yes.
Okay. So before we have to take a break, let's talk about the last days. What do you mean by the last days?
So many of us hit a point where we know that we are in our final chapter.
Okay.
Some people don't get any notice. They just pass away mm-hmm. one day. But many of us, and I, you know, once I'm over 80, I'm going to assume that I'm getting closer to my final chapter. But it's helpful to be thinking about even ahead of time. Knowing what makes life meaningful to you, in what kinds of situations would you want your life prolonged, and what kinds of situations would you not want your life prolonged? When you're in your final days, who do you want to have around you? Who do you not want to have around you? So my dad, for example, who passed away earlier this year, we knew a week ahead of time, maybe 2 weeks ahead of time, that he was in his last days. There are certain family members that he was close to, other family members to whom he was not close. It's helpful to know ahead of time, does he want those people to be there or does he not want those people around? He wasn't really able to communicate, so he didn't get to say, no, take that person out of the room.
Right.
So making sure that you have these all of these things figured out and written down. Do you want to die at home? Do you want to die at the hospital? 80% of Americans prefer to die at home, but only 20% of people do.
Wow, interesting.
If you want that to be you, make sure that you make that clear, and that means that you may need to forego some of the life-saving treatments that can happen to try to keep somebody alive when we don't know that you don't want to be kept alive. CPR, dialysis, there are all kinds of things that we do that are perfectly appropriate when somebody's younger, but as people grow older and older, it's less likely that somebody really wants their life prolonged.
Prolonged, yeah. Right.
Okay. And then what do you want in the environment? Is there Do you want music or no music? What kind of music? What kind of smells do you want around you? Do you want flowers? Do you hate flowers? Do you love these kinds of smells? Do you hate
those kinds of smells? Do you want Pink Floyd playing?
Exactly.
Right, whatever.
Do you want the TV on? For me, don't have a TV anywhere near me. I hate the TV.
Right.
Do you want conversation going on near you? Or do you want conversations taken outside of the room? All of those kinds of things.
Right. So it's all these little things that you would like for folks to know in the way you want things.
Right, so that you can pass on in the way that's the very most comfortable for you.
So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the final wishes and more. That's coming up next, The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Talking with Catherine Hammond, Hammond Law Group, and we're talking about the steps to get you started on an end-of-life plan. Very helpful tips. And quick reminder, workshops coming up next week, and folks can get registered. They fill up very quickly.
They're
free workshops, but it helps you get the steps going.
Absolutely.
And understanding to getting your end-of-life plan together.
It is the first step.
And stop ignoring the elephant in the room. We're all going to die. How's that? Wednesday. Do you like
just
that?
Just the bearer of great news.
I know. Just go, Renee. So Wednesday, you've got two workshops at 2 o'clock and 6:30. And then Saturday at 1 at 10 a.m. You can register online at your website, or you can call the office and get registered, right?
Yep.
So get in there. Don't be scared.
Right.
Don't be scared. Okay, so we've talked about final wishes, the last days. Well, actually, we haven't talked about final wishes. And final wishes, that's your cremation, your burial.
All of those things. Yeah. Do you want a funeral? Do you want a memorial? Do you want to be buried? Do you want to be cremated? Do you want a memorial at all? Some people say, I don't want that kind of thing for me. That just sounds depressing. Remember, though, that it's not for you. It's for your loved ones.
Right.
It's a way for them to come together and grieve. But how do you want to be dressed? Who do you want to conduct the funeral or memorial service? Are there particular readings you want? Do you want a eulogy? What do you want people to do afterwards? Do you want to have a big party? Or any other ritual endings that you might like? So,
I mean, and you may even have where there's nothing. Mm-hmm. There are some families that there's nothing.
Right.
You know, they're cremated and they're done. You know, there's no service. So you have to express those wishes if you want it that way.
And give your family space to have a memorial of some sort that will allow them to come together and grieve.
Right.
It makes me a little bit sad when I hear people say they're not allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want my family to be able to do whatever they need in my absence.
Absolutely. And then your legacy, right?
How do you want to be remembered? Yeah. And you can put it in writing. You can leave a video. You could do something that's general to everybody in your family, everybody that you love. You can write individual letters or record individual videos. Don't forget about the most important part, which is who you are and the things that are meaningful to you and how to pass those along. And writing and video are great ways to do that.
Absolutely. And easily shareable.
Yep.
Right. And easy to leave behind for your family members. Now, let's see. For you have said there's, like you said, okay, write or record, right? Easy to locate, share with the appropriate people. So those are easy to get out to family.
Exactly.
Make
sure somebody knows where to find all this stuff.
Right? You could do all the stuff and forget to tell somebody.
Right.
Right? And
not
then
helpful.
What good? Yeah. Okay. So folks have a question. We actually have it set up online, right? That they can ask you a question.
Do. So on KRDO's website.
Yeah. Go to KRDO.com, look under the radio tab, and click on Ask the Estate Attorney, and questions go straight to you, Catherine. Or they can reach out to you online. They can call the office, right?
They sure can.
Or
our office is 719-520-1474.
1474. I'm writing this down really fast. 520-1474. How was that? Or give her a call, or again, go sign up for one of the free workshops this Wednesday or this Saturday and help get you started to getting the end-of-life plan in place.
Yes.
Don't be afraid. Of course, it's scary, but you know what I mean.
It's scary, but people find that the fear dissipates as soon as they take some steps to get things taken care of.
Absolutely. That elephant actually becomes a smaller elephant.
Yeah.
little bit smaller, yeah. Right?
Yeah, and we can make friends with it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always great talking to you. Thank you so much, Catherine. And by the way, you can catch the podcast on your website, on our website, and then you also have another podcast. Let's talk about that really quick. You have another podcast series, right?
Yes, we have a podcast for A Thriving Life, which is our online community for people with a loved one with dementia. People find that very, very helpful. And so you can go to our website at athrivinglife.org and find information about the community and the podcast and all kinds of good stuff. But that podcast is also on the KRDO website.
That's perfect. And again, it's for family members who maybe, again, like dementia. Yeah, perfect. athrivinglife.org, right?
That is it.
Perfect. Catherine, always great seeing you. And then coming up tomorrow on The Extra, Colorado Springs Fire Chief Ted Colas will be here. That's tomorrow on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.